Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. My name is Rachel Yarch, and I represent Clifford Osuji, the appellant in this matter. The District Court's memorandum and order granting summary judgment to the City of Chicago on Mr. Osuji's claim of retaliation erred in a number of ways. First, the District Court's opinion completely discounted Mr. Osuji's October 1999 complaints to the Legal Affairs Department. Now, we know that his complaint was verbal and somewhat informal, but it was a complaint nonetheless, and there's nothing in the case law that indicates that a written formal complaint is required. In fact, Mr. Osuji complained to the exact personnel department that he was supposed to complain to. And we don't have to rely on Mr. Osuji's testimony for this fact. This fact is also corroborated by Officer Pasqua's testimony. And it was complete error for the District Court to just dismiss this fact entirely. Second, the District Court stated that there was no credible evidence that Barbara McDonald knew of Mr. Osuji's complaints to Deborah Pasqua, again discounting the October 1999 complaint. Further, Barbara McDonald testified that she didn't recall whether or not she knew about Mr. Osuji's complaints of discrimination at the time that she decided to revise his employment evaluation and change it from good to unsatisfactory. There would really be only two ways to know whether or not Barbara McDonald knew of Mr. Osuji's complaint to Deborah Pasqua. First, we could ask Barbara McDonald. Well, we did that, and Barbara McDonald testified she didn't know. Second, we could ask Officer Pasqua. We did that, and Officer Pasqua claimed attorney-client privilege. Therefore, the city has set up a system where its employees can complain about employment discrimination, and we would never know who was later found out about that claim. Now, the District Court chose to look at these facts and draw the inference that there's no way Barbara McDonald knew about the complaints of discrimination.
Would it be at all sensible to have found in Osuji's favor on a retaliation claim and at the same time rule for the defendants on the merits, as this jury did? It is a jury who believed the testimony that there was no race or national origin discrimination. It's very difficult to imagine how the same trier of fact could have found retaliation. And since your client had a jury trial on the substantive claims, what's left?
That's a good question, Your Honor. And at all times in handling this case, we felt that we had a better chance in proving the retaliation. It's much easier for a jury to sit there and accuse a decision maker of retaliation rather than it is to accuse a decision maker of racial discrimination.
Why?
Because Barbara McDonald's conduct in this case, if you look at the whole course of conduct, it's easy to see that she could have been retaliating against Mr. Osuji. Mr. Osuji complained in October 1999. He complained again to Mr. Glass about Barbara McDonald denying his merit increase. There were constant complaints about Barbara McDonald. And her behavior through the course of these complaints, from reversing his employment evaluation, changing it from good to unsatisfactory, even on something such as attendance, where she downgraded him from excellent to good. Now, she may have been doing these types of things because she was angry at Mr. Osuji for complaining about her and saying that she was discriminating against him.
Retaliation could easily be thought worse because when it's effective, it eliminates the remedy for the underlying discrimination. So it enables the discriminator to get away scot-free. Couldn't that be explained to a jury?
I suppose that's true, Your Honor. We believe that if this case had gone to the jury in its entirety, the jury could have clearly found that Barbara McDonald was retaliating against Mr. Osuji rather than discriminating against Mr. Osuji, or both. But the fact remains that during the course of his employment, Mr. Osuji repeatedly complained that Barbara McDonald was discriminating against him. And Barbara McDonald repeatedly took action against Mr. Osuji, eventually causing the termination of his employment. And I would reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Yarch. Ms. Hornstra?
Good May it please the Court. Mr. Osuji's claim for retaliation, which was decided on summary judgment before trial, failed because Mr. Osuji did not raise a genuine issue of fact that he engaged in the protected activity of a complaining about discrimination at any time before he was told that he would be terminated. By Mr. Osuji's own account, he was told on March 17, 2000, that he would be terminated, but his complaint of discrimination to legal affairs was made 3 days later, on March 20th. Without any evidence on this essential element of Mr. Osuji's prima facie case, the district court properly granted summary judgment against him. As for Mr. Osuji's counsel's arguments now that there was some complaint in October 1999, the record itself demonstrates that there is no factual basis for this whatsoever. By Mr. Osuji's own account, his complaint to Officer Pascua in October 1999, which was indeed an informal complaint, was that he wasn't introduced to other employees in the division and that he didn't have enough support staff. He himself did not testify that he complained about any sort of discrimination on the basis of race or national origin in his conversations with Officer Pascua in October, nor did Officer Pascua testify to any such thing. As for Osuji's supervisor, Barbara McDonald's knowledge of any such complaints, clearly, if there was no evidence that any such complaint existed, there was no complaint for her to know about. So if in fact she testified that she didn't know whether of any, you know, she didn't remember whether she knew of any complaints by Mr. Osuji, that, of course, isn't evidence that she knew about complaints, that there was no evidence existed in the first place. And, of course, McDonald's testimony in the first instance was that, in fact, she did not know of any complaints by Mr. Osuji at the time she decided to terminate him. It was simply when pressed that she couldn't remember the exact sequence of events when the various dates were, when her deposition was taken some years after the event. In any event, when Barbara McDonald told Mr. Osuji on March 17th that she would have him terminated, it was, of course, consistent with the fact that several weeks earlier, Ms. McDonald had asked Mr. Osuji's direct supervisor to write up a memo documenting Mr. Osuji's performance difficulties with the express purpose, and this was back in February 2000, of documenting the rationale for Mr. Osuji's termination. And that was consistent with the fact that Ms. McDonald had consistently denied salary increases to Mr. Osuji for each of the previous months, going back to December 1999, and that Mr. Glass had reported problems to Ms. McDonald about Osuji's work within a few months of his beginning his employment. In short, the efforts of Mr. Osuji at this point to create an issue of fact over whether he complained of discrimination before the decision was made to terminate him rely solely on mischaracterizing the record, which demonstrates that there is no evidence of any earlier complaints. Indeed, the record demonstrates that it was the decision to fire Mr. Osuji that prompted his complaint and not the other way around. If the court has no questions, we ask that the judgment of the district court be affirmed. Thank you.
Ms. Yarge, how much time does she have? 1 minute.
I'd like to first point out to the court that the district court erred completely in assuming that the plaintiff had to prove that Barbara McDonald knew about Mr. Osuji's complaints of discrimination. In Stone versus the City of Indianapolis, Manny versus Potter, and most recently, less than 2 months ago, this court's opinion in Phelan versus Cook County, the court has continued to state that it's not necessary to establish a causal link between the adverse employment action and the protected conduct. Judge Manning improperly held the plaintiff to a higher standard than that. Further, there are serious credibility issues in this case. There are credibility issues with the February 25th, 2000 memo. There are serious credibility issues with Barbara McDonald's testimony in general. And the court improperly drew inferences that should have been left to the jury in this case. Further, there's no evidence that Barbara McDonald told Mr. Osuji that she was going to terminate his employment prior to him writing on his revised evaluation that he felt her comments were biased and prejudicial. There's absolutely no evidence that Barbara McDonald's statements regarding his termination came prior to that third complaint of discrimination regarding Barbara McDonald.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Yarch, and thank you so much.